Hello?
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of That's All Folks, entitled The Mind of Shane Dawson. Shane Dawson is a YouTuber who recently underwent an 8-part series looking into the mind of Jake Paul, asking, is he a sociopath? And finding out a lot more than he expected to. I'm here with Zach Show Live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Zach Show Live. Thank you so much for inviting me here. That's all. And this is coming to you straight from the mind of Zach Show Live. I wanted to mention that.
And I'm also here with Tree. I don't know if you want to say more name than Tree.
Let's just keep it simple.
So we're here on a Friday afternoon. The series ended yesterday. We've had about a little under 24 hours to process everything that went on in that series. First off, let's just get some initial feelings. How'd you guys feel about it?
Well, that's funny because, like, as you were calling, I just, an hour ago, The Verge published this piece about some criticisms, and
I don't want to hear what other people have to think about it, but I want to see what right. you, like, how did the series rub you? You watched the whole
right.
thing.
I was just getting into that, right?
Okay.
Like, initially, I think that this was surprising because initially I think, like, I wanted to believe that, wow, this was actually, like, productive. I want to say that it was productive, but there are I definitely know that there are, like, some holes in there, like, some problematic things, but for the most part, I think it was, like...
You think Shane did a good job?
I think it was successful. It did a lot of things. It did a lot of things.
Are you out on the street right now? I'm hearing some street traffic.
I'm sorry. They got the fucking wood chipper over here in West Hollywood. Jesus Christ. It's so obnoxious. I'm so fucking sick of it. I don't like West Hollywood. I just said that. Man. I don't. There's always shit going on. I'm sorry.
How'd you feel about Shane Dawson's series, though?
Okay. At first, I was, like, kind of, like, what the fuck is this? This is so drawn out. But it was still, like, I don't know. We've kind of followed this boy for a while. So it was really, I feel like we understood all of the, like, everything to a pretty, like, deep, like, degree.
Yeah.
So it was still pretty interesting to me.
Shane? Are you talking about Shane?
No, I'm talking about Jake. Okay. I don't know Shane. This is basically my first experience with Shane Dawson, but I didn't like love it, but I loved the juice that was spilling out, and I think it was a good amount of juice.
Yeah, we were watching the finale yesterday. It was an hour and 45 minutes, and while it was a little boring at times, there was no doubt the juice was spilling. The tea was spilling.
Here's the thing: is like
it was a slow drip.
It was a slow
but
drip.
But it was hot. We'll say that.
It was hot-ass tea. It was a slow drip. But I gotta say, like, I also was frustrated at the beginning where it was like, man, this is just, like, obviously a stunt. Does it have to really be this long? And as the episodes went on, it was like, oh, yeah, it does need to be this long. I do want to see this perspective. And something I, like, noticed very, like, specifically was the order in which he interviewed all the different people that was, like, not, like, expected. Like, usually, like, the fact that he interviewed Jake and then, or he interviewed,
Well, I think actually...
Everyone Compton, before.
Nick Crompton, and then it was, like, then he went to the house, then it was Alyssa, so it was, like...
But I think Alyssa was actually last, but they put the Jake interview that was in the last episode last.
Right,
because in that one they said, we tried to get you for a month, and he was also talking about it being a month ago whenever he was, like, hanging out with him.
Right. But I gotta say, like, do you think that it was, like, more, he maybe, like, was able to get more out of all of, out of that whole entire situation, the drama and, like, answers about it, like, more than anyone, like, in the media.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I mean, I think that's why, because he was a fellow YouTuber, that was, like, more of a safe space.
It took a peer. Like, that's what's so, like, interesting about this case is that literally nobody in the media could have done what Shane Dawson did. It was like a manifestation of the genre of YouTube culture and influencer culture, that this new kind of like way of interviewing or critiquing a subject or whatever emerged out of like the native platform. It was an influencer interviewing an influencer, and therefore that's why Jake Paul was able to like kind of let his guard down and say a lot more than he would have. So like when the media comes out and they're like, oh, this wasn't critical enough, it's like, yo, like no one has been able to actually get a real answer out of any of these people.
You're saying he's kind of like Dennis Rodman going to North Korea for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, like, he's our only, like, nobody else could talk to him, but somehow Dennis Rodman went in there. But, yeah, I agree that, like, I was reading the Verge article you sent, which, like, described his journalism style as toothless, meaning he didn't really dig in to the real questions. But it's true, like, it took...
He did to a certain degree,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he did. I was impressed by the final episode with him, like, asking some pretty tough questions right to his face.
I'm so disappointed by the Verge article, like, because I think as I'm talking through this, I'm realizing, like, how, of course, some, like, it's just annoying that they had to have a negative reaction. They couldn't have a positive, like, the media can never have a positive.
Because the media is based around fucking tragedy.
It's like, they can't even, like, respond.
It's 2018, nothing good happens anymore.
I know, I just was frustrated that they couldn't respond in a way that actually acknowledged the positive points. AKA, pinning, like, Jake Dawson against the wall and saying, hey, do you realize what you are doing?
Did you just say Jake Dawson?
Sorry, Jake, whatever. But you are pinning... He, like, the part, remember, where he was like, you're basically SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And how weird would it be if SpongeBob, like, shilled out a bunch of products and also had weird, awkward sexual moments during the show?
Just interject right there? Was he being for real right there? Like, I think he was.
That was a really good analogy.
Is true. And I mean,
I'm
like,
saying that, but I'm saying Jake, and that was his response. Oh. I think that was his real response, you know?
Yeah, his response was that, like...
He was like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, it was amazing because it revealed that this kid is a high school dropout. He didn't have the education to understand media theory, media criticism. He didn't go to college.
Well, the thing is,
an ethics class.
Yeah,
he didn't understand what he's doing. And it was like evident by his response, because whether he was playing it off or not, like, he does not understand the tools that he's employing in subjecting to children. He just doesn't get it.
The thing is, though, like, nobody knew that. Because, like, this has a long history with me specifically. Because remember when I was, like, trying to nail Shonduras back in the day?
Exactly.
I was mad about Shonduras for, like, directly being SpongeBob. Because Shonduras is SpongeBob. He's the main character. And then selling stuff to kids is exactly what... like standards and practices behind the TV children's TV programs prevent, but those guards aren't up on YouTube. And like I'm not surprised he doesn't know that, because the AB family doesn't know that. Shonduras doesn't know that. People who are specifically thinking about entertaining kids don't know that. So
I think they turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
A blind eye, in addition to, it's like blissful ignorance, in addition to the fact that no one is taught about general like information about the media and how to deal with the media and like what the tools the media is using against people. Like, people just don't understand it unless you like have a master's and you're like dedicated to understanding the way these things work.
And even then,
which is a larger problem.
And even in regular broadcast TV, the like regulations around it are still way too relaxed for the sorts of studies that they do on this, saying like how kids are, how manipulatable kids are. Like the rules still aren't really addressing these, the research behind it. So it's still like, we, even in regular media, it's too manipulative for kids. At least that's what the research says.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that he it was a really good thing to bring up there, and I'm glad like a bunch of kids and shit are watching this now. Like future YouTubers will be thinking of that exact like line to Jake Paul whenever they're making their stuff. Like that was good.
And that's why, like, when that subject came up, I was like floored. And the amount of time that they spent on it,
yeah, it's good.
Like, floored. And the pushback against like, no, listen, Jake, think about it this way.
Yeah.
You are SpongeBob. Because his response was like, nah, I just really think that that's just one of those other things that people say to hate on me. And then Shane doubled down and was like, no, you are SpongeBob.
Yeah.
This is how it works.
And he still denied it. He still denied it, but I can't imagine. And we should say, like, he's taken down all of Team 10's social media in after this episode, last, like, day or so. And he's supposedly revamping Team 10. So I wonder if, like, even though in the moment he said, like, no, people are just haters, they just don't like me, I wonder if he actually reconsidered that and was like, okay, I am SpongeBob, what do I do now?
Should we, like, hit him up and see if we can maybe be in, like, the next generation of Team 10? Like, maybe we're, like, what they're looking for.
We could be the counselors, man. Remember?
We get, like, a bunked-up room. We're like, yeah, no, we're fucking Team 10.
You'd be a really good council of, like, an approval council. Because that was another thing that I was really impressed by. Because I remember this suggestion from, like, a New York Times article. Or maybe it was, like, whatever.
Oh, don't give the Times all the damn credit.
No, okay. It was, like, from some... It's basically a consensus among people that understand this subject. And they were saying, like, YouTube people need to have the same sort of guardrails as regular media, which is, like, he should definitely have a sounding board, somebody to be like, hey, should I post this video, should I not? Like,
whether
it's, like, following him around or maybe, like, just part of their general team, maybe not in the house, but whatever. Like, somebody to, like, cross when it comes to ethics. And
Shane
Dawson actually suggested that, which is, like, a real solution, potentially.
Yeah, but, you know, like, after Logan Paul's thing, he actually got somebody like that on his team.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's what it was. How is that working?
I don't know. I mean look at it.
Not that many videos.
Yeah. I think, like,
he's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Logan's in the shadows lurking. Speaking of.
I think he's like nervous.
Wait, what?
Logan came out looking like a real evil man.
Yeah, I wanted to say, like...
Real dark.
I want to say, like, should I just do a summary of the whole series?
Sure.
Well, so there's 8 episodes. The Mind of Jake Paul, which was just him researching Jake Paul and learning about him from all the experts. The Dark Side of Jake Paul, where he went to a therapist and heard about what sociopaths were. That was the most criticized episode because of the heavy editing and scary music and scary B-roll. Which it was warranted. That was I think that was a bad episode. Number 2, mm-hmm. Family of Jake Paul, where he looked up about like his brother, his mom, his dad. The Enemies of Jake Paul, where he interviewed Nick Crompton, the ex like CEO of Team 10, had a lot of nice and bad things to say about Jake. The World of Jake Paul, where he went to Jake Paul's house, hung out with Team 10 and Jerrica and all that stuff. The Secrets of Jake Paul, which is sort of an extension of that. Talking to Erica, the ex-girlfriend of Jake Paul, where he talked to Alyssa Violet, this girl who he supposedly beat up, was abusive to, and then she cheated on him with his brother Logan, and there's a like this whole rivalry between Logan and Jake is over Alyssa, so that was a long interview with her. The final episode was another super, super long episode with Jake Paul, where it's 1 hour and 45 minutes on one couch with one long interview, basically.
Yeah.
They were all around 45 minutes. And it's crazy that much. When you look at it like a podcast, it's like pretty normal amount of media.
Yeah.
But it is pretty crazy for a video.
It was the first of its kind. I think in the middle of the series, like I started seeing like articles about or references to like how a lot of people are kind of adopting this format, which he created for like interviewing
You know what it reminds me of?
Yeah.
Like, more than anything, and I'm like, well, he did a really good job. Well, you look at it in that legacy, is Louis Theroux, or Louis Theroux, on, for the BBC, dude. I love Louis Theroux. And, like, he does a really good job of, like, talking to the people who are, like, considered the most, like, horrible people in our society and just, like, trying to have... So, like, in that respect, Shane did a good job. I would say the only thing he did a bad job of is, like, the manipulative editing. And even he admitted that at first. And in the final episode, he cut out... because we should say there's a part where Jake talks about how Logan Paul and Alyssa Violet were having sex behind his back for a long time. And during that whole, like, maybe 30
They didn't
minutes,
really say it was for a long time.
That's a couple
correction.
Months.
That was a good correction. That whole thing is still weird. But yeah, go on.
Yeah,
that's
still unclear.
The duration is unclear. It's true.
Yeah, because he knows he was kind of throwing his... He was kind of basically spilling the beans about his bro.
Yeah.
And he was like, I can't spill them all.
Yeah, so there might be more, but during that part, there's like a... Like, before it started, they put in like a title card that was like, we took out all the music so that we're not manipulative at all during this part.
I noticed that too. Like, I thought that was like a real, like... I think intentional and interesting thing, and I think that is an example of how the series was strong. Like, the editing was very transparent. Like, I just imagine this is like, what if it would have been the media, if it was Barbara Walters or something, some classic journalist or something, it would have never worked, because his editing style, down to his editing style and then just his overall persona, it allowed the conversation to feel natural, to have moments that felt serious, and then he would cut to, like, this is what happened when the cameras were off, and it's them kind of, like, venting, and then they go back to the storyline, and just, like, the editing style alone allowed that room to actually show real emotion, like, in between, like, the conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was thinking the whole time, it's no surprise that this dude's, like, into watching mukbangs. You know, those just, like, unedited shots of people editing. Because, like, no other person would leave this much not on the cutting room floor. Meaning, like, they left it all. Like, there's not many edits.
Yeah.
Which
is cool.
Yeah. I think their editor did a good job. Bad job in the ways that it was manipulative and, like, always spooky. Like, whenever they turn on a light in a room, it would always go, like,
I know.
It's like, fuck you. It's just like, you know. Like,
I mean,
that's stupid.
He admitted that he did.
No, they
it for
still did it even
purposes.
Even up until the final episode, episode 7. They were still doing that shit, and it's like, come on. The thing is, like, fine is like, sure. Like, I think Shane's a nervous person, and this was like supposed to like sort of just show you the sort of feeling he had the whole time, which was just nervous and scared. And so to him, every little thing was jumpy. You know.
Yeah.
Sure, you can argue that this was like a subjective way to show his mood or whatever.
Yeah,
and that was good. But I would say the editor on the opposite side is like, the editor did such a good job going through like the vast archive of videos from Jake and Logan to find the good B-roll, because I've gone through all that and it's so hard. Great job.
Like, anytime, that was one of my favorite things actually. Like, they would mention something and the amount of exactly the right B-roll to demonstrate a point.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a fucking razor. Like, any, like, the way that there was one where it was him talking about his merch, right? Going back to the example about SpongeBob. And he was like, and you almost empathized with him for a minute. He's like, dude, I've been making my own merch since I was a kid. And they cut to him, like, as a, I don't know, 16-year-old or something.
On Zoosh, and him and his brother's
and
channel.
Like, and it's the most innocent thing in the world. But he's like, hey guys, I made this. This one's just gonna go to my cousin. So
it makes sense. Merch is fun to make. I totally buy it.
I get that. But then you realize, like, oh, and then this is another thing he said. He was like, so basically, I'm not saying that you're stupid or anything, and this isn't literally a critique. This is just an observation. Like, you are still kind of like stunted emotionally as like a 12-year-old boy with like those experiences that you had in Ohio being so like foundational to like who you are today, and then your success happened so rapidly against that, that you had no time to kind of like self-correct or reflect, or you just kind of like did you, which caused a lot of problems. So that was like a really like good use of that. Like that was just like, I don't know, it was just so contextual and so useful. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Did you guys believe his little, when he deleted that video? Or Ryan, I don't know if you wanted to continue. I'm not sure if you were going to continue to explain like the whole series, or did you just do that?
I guess, yeah, I guess we should say over the course of the series, he...
I just wanted to touch on a few of my favorite moments.
I'll just, in one, like two sentences, he thought Jake Paul was a sociopath. He went into it thinking that, sort of like, I think the good thing about it, even though it was like manipulative and cartoony, with the beginning, he went into it with the assumption that he was the person that the media said he was, which is a crazy person, a sociopath. And he went into it with this vibe that was very cartoonish. And then as he actually started learning things, it became less cartoonish. And
he tuned out, so to speak.
Yeah. And so that was good that he, like, he sort of embodied the hype, the character of just the rando who knows very little about Jake Paul and assumes that he's a monster, and then he slowly finds out that like he's like a product of his environment, which is true about everybody. So it's nice that it started like, we always want to like blame the individual, like this person's crazy, he's a sociopath and that's why he's bad, but it turned out the story in the end was people are bad, aren't bad. Nobody's like bad, just like purely. They're not just like a wicked spirit. There's just like, they're a result of their conditions. And so that is sort of the story of the series is like.
And it goes back to their parents, which I have to say, I hate to give it to you, but you did kind of call that one, Ryan.
That their parents were bad?
You called, I mean, I think everyone kind of called the Greg Paul thing, but.
Oh, yeah. Greg Paul. I would say that the thing I don't like, I still feel like it's like you can't even really end the series yet, is that like they blame Greg Paul and Logan Paul, who they didn't even get interviewed. So like it's kind of like, why are the only people who were like central to the story who didn't get interviewed are the one who gets blamed? So I feel like if you were to interview them, you would hear another.
I bet you they wouldn't do it.
You don't think so?
I mean,
wouldn't you ask him or no?
I'm sure they asked them, like, I'm sure if it happened, it's going to happen later, but they had to close it off because throughout the whole entire thing, he was like, this is about Jake.
So that's why you can't interview Logan, I guess.
I think he just wanted it to like also contain it. Alyssa during the end of their interview, she was like, if you wanted this series to be 30 parts, I could dig up a bajillion people that say, I fucking hate Jake Paul. So, like, this could go on forever. I think he just wanted to, like, cut it off. Although, I just think, like, Logan, they blame Logan and Greg. Like, that's who they blame. So, like, it's kind of unfair that they didn't get to, like, say anything, you know?
True.
It is. But I do think that's another example of why I think he did actually give, like, a hard interview. Because the part where he was talking about that diss track about teachers...
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, teachers never, that's just how I feel. Like, teachers didn't really teach me anything that I need today. And then Shane doubled down and he was like, honestly, though, like, they did. Reading, writing, science,
arithmetic.
You use those things every day. The things that you didn't learn are the things that your parents should have taught you, which is like, don't sell merch to children.
But the thing is like, I really don't think that parents are supposed to teach you not to sell merch to children.
Sure, but ethics, right?
I feel like parents would be like, oh, wow, he's a little entrepreneur.
Right. So which is a larger problem, but I think it was in general, just like he asked, like, did your mom ever, like, or dad, like, suggest that maybe you're going a little too far with, like, your neighbors and, like, things like that? And he was like, I don't think it would have stopped me regardless. He kind of, like, dodged the question.
Yeah, no. Nah. Like, well, he was asking, like, like when you were doing the craziest stunts, did your parents ever say to stop?
Parenting thing. And, like, it's just crazy that he did.
I think that he was just like, nah, he's probably just like, at that point, I really wasn't, he probably was not listening to anything he said. He was probably just like fucking rich and just like going to do crazy shit. Like, I said it before, I've done crazy shit. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's real adrenaline rush. So I think that he really was kind of just, like, a younger cat, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah. But then that one example about how I was like, well, okay, yeah, you were living the time of your life, and he was like, and you probably didn't care about your neighbors, and you didn't care about the people around you. My friend called me she was pregnant, coming out of the grocery store, and then you and your friends race to the parking lot and almost run her over, and she called me, and she said that fucking Jake Paul almost killed me and my baby. Like, that was such a good example of, like, what that, like, move fast and break things sort of, like, mentality is.
Yeah.
It's like you're just ripping through the universe without regarding your own consequences. It's like you don't even see them.
Yeah. It comes back to, like, that whole thing about the belief of, like, I don't know, that people are their own mind is their own prison, and, like, all you have to do is just, like, let yourself free and just, like, do it, go for it. Yeah, it's like the entrepreneur Casey Neistat, Gary Vee attitude of just, like, get it now.
Yeah, it was so good. Like,
yeah, but that, again, like Zach said, that's, like, he was fucking 18 or 19, right? Like, he was young as heck, and he had a lot of money.
Right.
It's hard to say that it's, like, this is, like, an isolated case of Jake is crazy. But in my mind, it's, like, so many 19-year-olds in his position would do exactly what he did.
And I think that's, like, that was really clear in the way it's, like, look, we have to be honest, and you can only, like, speak your own truth. Like, no one is gonna, like, that was, like, a very, like, that's what allowed him to be more revealing, like, to know that all you can do is just say how you felt, and it worked to a certain extent, because you can empathize with the concept, even though you've never been 19 and a billionaire or whatever. You can still imagine yourself in that position, and, like, it is what it is, and, like, I don't know, like, yeah, and it was very dimensional. I feel like in traditional, like, interviews, especially, like, in these sort of cases where it's, like, the, like, villain of the time and against the reporter, it's, like, it comes down to, like, setting the blame or, like, shaming or, like, right or wrong. And in this case, like, the whole entire atmosphere was, like, everyone's wrong, everybody's equally responsible, everything is terrible, but all you can say at this point is how you felt, you know, versus, like, a PR kind of, like, statement.
Yeah, so it was, like, that was interesting. They kept mentioning the phrase, speaking your truth.
Yeah.
Which, to me, especially in this post-truth era, was, like, kind of, like, I kept thinking, like, okay, like, how, like, every, you know, hashtag filter bubbles, everyone has their own version of reality. You really did, like, each person did talk about certain events and differently. And so, even after this series is over, I don't know what the actual truth is of anything. You just sort of get a vibe around, like, it must be somewhere in the middle of what everyone said. So that's what's the unsatisfying thing about this.
That's a really good articulation, especially in, like, the cultural context about how heavy-handed that
speak your truth. You have to respect everyone's truth, but it's like, okay, but what actually happened?
What is the truth? Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I think he made me feel, like, comforted in the idea of, like, yeah, it is your own truth, and that's the best we can do. And, like, that's actually a very profoundly, like, useful way of communicating with somebody else, because the other half of it is, like, the empathy, right? And then, like, actually seeing the other person's side. And then that's how you have a productive conversation, which is why this conversation was productive. But then when you put it in the cultural context of, like, truth and, you know, truthiness and, like, you know, fake news and these things, like, it takes on almost, like, a completely different tone about, like, oh my God, what is the truth?
Yeah. Like, if these people, for, like, when people talk about people who are, like, giving alt-writers a platform, like, that are straight up liars and just, like, ignore truth, like, this whole thing is like you're letting a bunch of liars lie.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like, who knows? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't know who lied and who didn't, but like, for instance, one of like the big questions I'm like, and this is like down in the nitty gritty, but it was like something that I'm like, okay, but what's the truth about this? Alyssa Violet says she had sex with Logan once. It was like one night, bad decision. And then that's it.
Right.
And she insists that, and it was because she would always ask Jake, like, are we boyfriend, girlfriend? Is this, what are we, like, are we a real thing? What? And he would never say they were actually dating, and he would never give her an answer, and he would always be mean to her. And that's why she, like, lashed out and did this one thing once. But in Jake's story is, of course they were dating on and off, but when they were on, it was a real relationship. And then during that time, she got mad because it wasn't ever like serious or whatever. And she, in an ongoing way, had sex with Logan, I don't know, a couple times. If I had to like, imagining in my mind, like 10 to 20, like over the course of a couple months, I don't even know. But that's like one of those things that I'm like, okay, I don't know what the actual truth is there. And I feel like Jake is the liar.
I feel like he, yeah, I know.
I don't like that he got the last word too. Because it made him seem like his things that he was saying were the truth, even if it conflicted with other people's.
I mean, you can't argue that so much, but
Just the fact that it was after.
I mean, well, I get what you're saying.
Because he got two interviews, and like in this final interview, it was like, you need to tell the truth. No more lies. And that doesn't mean that Jake's not lying. I think he's lying a lot.
Everybody knew that. I think it's obvious that like that something was unsaid.
Maybe Shane should have done a debrief about, like, here are some open questions that I think.
That's what we're doing right here, right now.
Yeah.
But the media is going to have all these takes no matter what. I mean, this Verge one is about the fucking twins or whatever. And, like, all these open-ended questions.
What? Yeah. Martinez twins?
Yeah. And that was, like, a whole other thing, too. Because, like, what was the truth? I mean, they painted it as, like he went and he saved these kids from like their country and taught them English and put them in Teen 10. Like, that was the final.
And it's true.
Yeah. I think on that one, I mean, it's, you know, you're not going to know the truth. I'm sure he was like a fucking bully.
They both probably were.
I did say it when I saw him. Like, I said, I have a feeling that it was just bros being bros doing dumb shit to each other. And it probably just got out of hand. Like, you know what I mean? Like somebody went too far. So that just keeps escalating.
Yeah. I did want to talk about that because that is like, I thought that was one of the other good parts, even though The Verge is really criticizing Shane for this.
Yeah.
I think it's like another one of those cases where like, the fact that he talked about how like he grew up in a place where racism and there was like was fine as long as it was in a joke. And like there isn't, when it comes to jokes, there's no line for how like dark it can get, because like I 100% relate to that. And like, I'm sure Zach does too. And whenever
a lot of people relate to that, and that's why I thought it was so honest and revealing for him to actually just say that.
Yeah. And so
I feel like that's a lot of what the problem is that people grow up in these homes that in a culture where this stuff is so casual, and all of a sudden we're in a place where people have to fucking check that shit. And
I think we still like, I mean, I've gone on like I've listened to like Fortnite, I've listened to like little kids playing video games. Racism and bigotry, everything is still alive and well in the world of little boys. And there's still like a lot. I don't think anybody realizes why joking about that stuff is bad. And so they didn't really articulate that in their conversation, but I think it was really good to talk about that stuff is like normalized, and why calling the Martinez twins beaners, they would have perceived it as a joke. And even in the moment, the Martinez twins might've perceived it as like, oh, we're just joking around. But after the fact, they saw why that whole thing is bad, like after the fact their feelings actually were hurt when they realized like what that meant and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, but to be fair, like that was there's countless videos, and the Martinez twins video specifically was like, yeah, Jake called us beaners. But then what Jake says is that they used to call us crackers in the house and make like white boy jokes. So then that was the culture of the house.
Right. It becomes like a team. It's like a team thing. It's like, okay, I'm Spain, you're USA.
And I've heard I've heard that's like what in the army, I've heard people in the military do that all the time. Like whatever race you are, like they lean into racism as a joke.
Jail is like that. Like, I mean, prisons, you know, like.
Right. Or like, somebody calls someone where they're like, even like I was working.
<It's> that. In a kitchen, like, you know, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I remember whenever I worked with our stepdad, James, like, everyone, like, this dude, they would call, oh, what's up, Tennessee? Like, and they were calling me, I think they called me, like, oh, what's up, Cleveland? I'm like, all right. Right. Like, you know,
you are not you, you are your group.
It's same but different, because obviously, like, the racial gravity of the difference between being from Cleveland and being considered blanketly a beaner is, like, different. But you know what's the other really good, like, contextual? Have you heard of the Jonah Hill movie, mid-90s, that's, like, just came out?
Ricky's got a boner for it.
Yeah, it has a lot of some of the pushback or whatever criticism that Jonah Hill has gotten so already. Is that the kids are depicted as kids growing up in the 90s, which was a completely different cultural environment than 2018. Which
you can say that again.
This sort of, like, humor and just, like, banter that you still see on, like, Twitch and stuff between gaming kids or whatever is the same culture that, you know, was, like, around in the mid-90s. And people did call each other, like, fags and, like, things like that. And oh, no, I just meant bad, like, you know, uncool or whatever, or, like, gay is, like, uncool. Like, that sort of, like, rapport is, like, so, it was just commonplace. He depicts it true to life, true to his own experience in the movie, and people are like, man, why are you, like, legitimizing this sort of behavior through this movie, like, and wrapping it in, like, this nostalgia, like, you're making it positive.
What
Jonah Hill said, he was like, no, that's just like my experience, and then that's right. Like that is like the truth of the matter, and the idea is like seeing the world through the lens of these kids. Mm-hmm. So like it's kind of like Jake, where it's like that was just my experience, like this is just how this was just the culture, right? Like,
yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. I thought that you were going in a different direction. So
no, but the switch there is like the important part is like it's just the culture, and we're just like figuring out how to, how to get into a new culture, I guess.
Yeah,
I would. You know, the crazy thing about that is like whenever I would say anything like racist or sexist or anything growing up, like some joke that crossed the line, my justification was that. Well, the world isn't like civil rights are over. Like the world is pretty equal now. This is like hearkening back to a time. I'm doing an impression of a dumb person who is racist, who is sexist.
Right.
And that's the funny part is that I'm dumb enough to say these things.
Yeah.
And I guess the hard part is like explaining like why even with that mindset, why you wouldn't want to do this.
As in,
say racist and sexist things. Like, why is it still bad? Even if you're doing an impression of, like, somebody who...
Exactly.
Even if it's, like, about pushing the line. Even if it... And, like, I don't even know if I can go into that right now. It's like a whole... I'd love that conversation, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would be a useful convo.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely relevant because people are trying to figure out how to transition, like, is it free speech or is it just respect? Like, you know,
it goes back to like, yeah, like social justice stuff is like, why is changing the language so important? Why is changing the words we use so important? And so that's
in Kanye West's language. But yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. That's like a whole convo that I'd love to have at some point, like really like break it down in like a really easy to understand way. But yeah. I think he did a good job of just like, at least bringing it up in the doc.
I agree with that.
What did you guys think about whenever he was talking about the beating up my assistant video, and then he went on and deleted it, and he went on and deleted it? Like, that to me was a very just impulsive, like, Jake Paul move. Just, he's like, this is something that I have to, like, this is literally the one thing that I could actually, like, take action on and, like,
yeah,
do something about right now, because he was so, like, he was just in a really vulnerable space, and that was, like, one thing where he could be like, oh, okay, this is me, like, I'm gonna fucking delete it right now, you know?
It was smart. I mean,
yeah, I know, he had to do it. It was very obvious that he had to do it.
And it was, like, he could have done it after the show, but I think that was him being, like, very good at his job, knowing that this is the PR moment to do something like this, to show that initial step, like, of change or whatever. So it was, like, I noticed that being, like, a very distinct moment, for sure.
And, and you know, everyone was impressed by that, you know. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think about that, Ryan?
I get the exact same thing you guys thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was one of you, maybe one of your highlights that you'd like to,
of the series
or that, the, or of the latest episode, whichever one
you prefer? You know what, like, actually I have like some notes here. The thing that I want to bring up is an addendum to maybe an apology.
Wow.
An apology to Jerrica, because I guess Jerrica's real.
Yeah,
you, speaking of the media, getting it wrong, you told a young girl Jerrica.
No, but at the time, Jerrica may not have been real. At that time, like, if you actually look at the real legacy of Jerrica, if you, like, I'm still on the fence. I still want to be the skeptic still. Like, how hard is it really to pretend to be someone's girlfriend, like, for a day?
Really, no, it's really not hard.
His relationship with Erica is the only thing that allowed him to come out as, like, the good guy.
Right.
Because, wow, he does have emotions.
So do you like...
He's not a sociopath.
How do you feel about Erica now? This is the question.
Whatever. I mean, she's just...
You're a goat.
Huh?
What do they call it?
Like, yeah, they're like,
goat squad.
Castellers.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, what? Why? Okay. I
don't know. Yeah, be a goat.
Yeah, you're a goat or no?
No.
You are.
Whatever. She seemed like the sweet and appeasing sort of girlfriend, honestly. I thought that was kind of annoying. Like, specifically this one part that she said when they were at the Team 10 house. She was like, she conflated her reality with Jake Paul's reality, where she said, yeah, this last summer we were just training for the big fight.
Like, she was like an accessory to his, like, career. I mean, but that's the thing is, like, she came in and she's been that. Like, before Jerrica was real, like, and I'm
she's
still...
She has embodied that.
Call me a flat earther, but I'm still going to say Jerrica might be fake. Like, I'm going to bring up, like, really, like, ramshackle evidence. Be like, if you look at Jerrica in this one video, you see... But yeah, I'm going to still say Jerrica's fake, even though there's a lot
just
of evidence to say it is real. But in the beginning, Jerrica was fake. Like, right after Alyssa Violet, like, the whole thing was, like, her... She was an accessory. She was like a thumbnail hot girl for clickbait. That was what she was for Jake. And that's exactly what Erica was right when Alyssa left. Erica stepped in and she was the clickbait hot girl.
Right.
And that was her job for many, many months. And at that point, even though Jerrica was selling merch and acting like they were real, they were not real.
Right.
And like literally everything else in their vlog is fake. And so I don't really blame myself for saying Jerrica was fake, because literally they're like, the sky is falling. And so I can't trust them with anything, you know?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Is this a little water break? Are you pouring a cold one?
It's water. It's kind of like my tagline. That's just like my interjection. Just start pouring some water.
So yeah.
That was a heavy stream. Okay.
So...
I love that segue.
So Jerrica might be real. Sorry, Jerrica. thanks for helping Jake out. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know, but thanks. I do have to say, Jerrica, I would take some time to think about who you are as a person and what your own needs are, because it seems like you're very overly consumed by Jake Paul.
Well, she got her own apartment. If you watch her recent vlogs.
I know. I saw that.
I think that was
still
post-Shane. She got her own place.
Oh.
It was pretty recent. Maybe not.
Throughout the whole year, she moved out like around the same time that I think Nick Crompton moved out, I think. Like in the middle of the summer. I've watched her
at least on
a different apartment.
I mean, within this doc, mm-hmm. The Mind of Jake Paul, she didn't say she lived in an apartment to him, so I don't know. Maybe they left that out.
Okay.
But yeah, so
I don't know if that's enough.
Jerrica, just because Jerrica's like, I mean, I think Jerrica still kind of sucks. I mean, she's basically a Kardashian. She just gets like tons of plastic surgery and just is like a hot babe. So I mean,
yeah, it's problematic.
as quote cool as she is, that's a quote from Shane Dawson. Like, he could be friends with her.
I did like the part where she was like, if you live in this house, you can't be afraid of anything. And it sounded like she probably fucks around a lot, too, which I don't know why they never film her, like, doing any stunts and stuff. If that's
they did.
They do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They do. Yeah, she puts herself in danger a decent amount.
So I gotta give her that. I mean, it's not easy being the only girl amongst, like, 12 penises. So.
Nah, yeah.
That's actually, like, terrible.
She was Jake's assistant for 2 years before she was Jerrica, so she, like, saw it all before she was in the camera and in front of the camera.
She saw, like, the real mind of Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think, in conclusion, here, let me turn that song back on. So, who do you blame? Why is Jake the way he is?
This is to the crowd?
You guys. Do we blame the brother? Do we blame the dad? Do we blame the teachers? Is there anyone to blame here?
Do we still believe that sometimes it's important to just hear people out? Is it important for somebody to be blamed? How do you feel about that?
It seems like they are blaming somebody. And it's Logan and Craig. I
mean, right.
And does blame need to be? Yeah. Do...
Who
for
is...
every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Snaps.
Think about that.
I
would say that this is not over.
I don't think it's over.
There's no way.
I don't think this is going to be over until the fat lady sings. Are we allowed to say that anymore? I don't think we're allowed to say that. Nah.
So where do you think... I think that there's absolutely no way there's not going to be a response from Logan Paul or something in his own video. And then we said, like, Jake Paul took down all the social media. I think that this is, like, 100% going to be a paradigm shift for Jake Paul and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan Paul, probably. I'm not sure, but...
I think they're going to go full merch. Just, like, or, like, clothing design.
Oh, God, do you think they're going to...
Which
do,
I
like,
think...
Have their own...
Ryan said he wanted Jake to do, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he has some good merch. I think the fact that he's been doing merch since Zoosh times, I think has made his merch, like, game. I don't know if he's, like, really hands-on with his merch, but I feel like he's a good designer.
I don't know, man.
He probably just has a good team.
This is the same guy that for Christmas made, like, an army sweatshirt and put, like, a fake, like,
a fake Rolex.
Watch.
Yeah.
I mean,
a screen picture.
It's
pretty funny.
It's funny.
Like, when you think about, I always forget the name of that, like, the fashion designer with, like, the eight names, Margiela.
Oh, Mason Margiela, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's one of my favorite fashion designers, and their stuff is so stupid and funny looking.
Yeah,
and when you look at Jake's merch in that way, it's like, it's funny. All this stuff has, like, a funny sense of humor.
That is such a good point. I love thinking about that. That's
funny. At the same time, Jake is still a jerk. Like, but like, you know how you guys always hate him? Like, Ricky hated him. You hated him. You hate him. And I feel like I was always. This hasn't really changed my mind about him at all. Because I always.
Me neither.
A result of their environment. Because, like, I've been racist, I've been sexist, because I grew up in the exact same environment and was a white man, too. So, like, I know exactly
you're
how
not a
I
white
got
man
the way
anymore.
Now, I've used some CRISPR, and I've splashed a little bit of everything.
Just a little bit right on the teats.
Nah, but I mean...
Everyone can relate to that. Everyone, that's the thing, is like, that's why if you're talking about blame, is that productive? That's, you know, or are we talking about perspective? Is that more productive to understand that people are products of their environment? Everybody has a longer truth than like the 5-second clip that ends up on the news. Really, blame is maybe the most useful for, you know, making a point. Like, that kind of travels, you know? Like, maybe it's hard.
Yeah,
it's just hard to, like, see all sides at all times.
The search for blame has,
The search for blame
has resulted in the idea that blame lies somewhere between us all. In the spaces between us. No, but I think I kept thinking about, I've been reading about like this guy, Margaret Mead and Gregory Bateson, these people who were like sociologists in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And Gregory was like famous for saying that like schizophrenia and a few other like mental disorders are not something that reside within the person, but reside within a community, you know? And there's been that.
Wait,
like,
can you elaborate just on that one point?
Well, just because you remember how you said there's that one place in Europe where, like, people who would normally be in, like, insane asylums were just, like, sent to live in these communities and treated like normal people.
Yeah.
And then they're, like, whatever was wrong with them got better because they were just sort of, it's this feedback that mental conditions are feedback between people and can it be exacerbated and increased because of, like, okay, you're crazy. I'm going to treat you crazy. Now I'm going to be more crazy. Now I'm going to treat you like you're even more crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. So like the idea that like someone's mental state is not exactly like something that lies within them. They are not a wicked soul, but that behavior is a result of
feedback
between people.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. I mean,
I think that lesson is, even though they sort of blame Greg, like the dad and Logan, I think that most people do see, and it does a good job of showing how, like, not that it's like the whole, like, I don't know, the nastiness is in like the situation or like what is between us. I don't really know how to say it well.
But it's just because that's just like really complicated. People don't like to kind of like analyze things that deeply.
Yeah,
it's
you
not
wanna,
something
you want to burn the witch.
Yeah, I mean, classically. So I think that that's like a really good final point, is like thinking about blame and like thinking about like, you know, the in betweens of like situations. Because honestly, that's the only thing that's going to get us through. The end of days.
I think everyone needs to put themselves in that pair of shoes and say, you know, what would I do? And maybe take a look in the mirror and say, who am I? And maybe you don't know, and that's okay. But you take one foot in front of the other and you learn, you know? You learn from our people around you. You learn from books, TV shows, what have you.
Yeah,
I learn something every day.
Let me see if I have anything else I mean to say about this.
You know what's interesting? I'm looking at this Verge article, and I want to know what you think. Why do you think the media is focusing? Why is the article to come out, not about all these other kind of like points that came up. But the headline literally has in it Jake's racism controversy reveals.
Like, because it's clickbait.
Right.
To me, that was the two things. There were two articles today. One about
are they? They must be busy over there, huh?
Nah, really, really. Like, I don't know. Like, after we started paying attention to Jake Paul, they did too. We mm-hmm. and a lot of I read their comments a lot, and a lot of their commenters are like mad they're even reporting on them. Like, you guys are making him famous every time you talk about him.
Yeah, which is. Yeah, a lot of the reason probably why Jake wanted to do this series because more and more people are starting to feel that way. Like, that's legit how, like, he actually is hated.
Yeah. So, but the two articles in The Verge are that Jake doesn't understand why he's manipulating kids and Jake is still racist and they didn't, like, grill him enough on that. Which those two points in the documentary were like the parts that I was like, okay, where he's grilling him on manipulating kids. I was like, wow, this is good. And the racism thing. Those are the two parts that I was like, these are the most important parts of the doc to me too.
Well, so, he exposed them. I think what he was trying to do, he just wanted to get answers. He wasn't going in there to like, just to destroy him. You know what I mean? It was more of like a friendly thing.
He came like, in as up? Like a listener. He didn't come in to blame anyone.
Right, which is why he did it. And I mean, I think that Shane was probably surprised with how much he did actually get.
Yeah.
Did you read the article though about the racism thing? Like, I only skimmed it because you sent it right before we started recording. What's the point?
No, honestly, same. I like got
sorry
through it. Yeah.
But, like, maybe they made some good points. I think that their other article was like fine. But that was good.
I almost don't know if it matters. My question is about the headline.
No, it doesn't.
You know, like, yeah, maybe like they put some good points in the article, but the fucking headline, like,
the headline is clickbait.
It's fucking clickbait.
What Shane Dawson did.
Yeah, I'd say
I don't know. Here's why I have a problem with it is because like the thing about the culture. Like, I thought like pretty okay with the answer about like we're both wrong at the time that was the culture and it is and I believe that. And so it was a group issue. It was like a cultural issue. It wasn't a singular Jake issue. He wasn't being racist to, like, everybody in the house while everybody else was crying. But this headline makes it seem that way.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, it really goes back to that 2015 or even, I think it's 2016, the grabber by the pussy tape, that it was locker room talk.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
We do blame Trump for being a dick, but you can't deny that his saying that it's locker room talk is true. That type of language is expected. So it's
which is a more productive
it's like, conversation. It's like Jake can feel bad about that, and Jake should feel bad about that and want to change. Mm-hmm. But you also can't act like he's some racist anomaly and act like that kind of culture. It doesn't exist. And like to act like the solution to that is not to blame Jake. The solution is to, I don't know, talk about why that's why like kids on Fortnite. Yeah. I was trying to think of the name of the program that they use for talking.
Oh, Twitch?
I don't know.
Flips.
What's it called?
Omegle?
No.
Omegle?
Sorry.
Discord. Yeah, like, kids on Discord are always screaming, like, racist, sexist things all the time now, like, five-year-olds. So this is not, like, it's not even, like, when people are saying, well, that's the older generation, I'll die out. It's like, nah, this stuff's still alive and well. And so, like, definitely tell Jake Paul about it, because he's, like, basically teaching our kids. But don't act like he's, like, the only, like, source of I don't know. Maybe that's a bad criticism. I think
that's why it rubbed me the wrong way, because it's about, like, responsibility over the message you're putting out. And the easy, lazy message is to just say blanket racism. Like, that's from coming from one person. But really, it's like the article should have been leaning more towards, like, the cultural aspect of it. Like, yet another example of locker room talk. And, like, you know, because that's really, like, the point where that people... Because I don't think it's efficient to think of this as an anomaly. Is really my point.
Yeah. We liked, like, yeah. Like, I guess the whole thing is, like, this whole series is, like, is the king sociopath teaching our kids to be sociopaths.
Yeah.
And if so, we should stamp them out, because that will be an easy solution to our, like, widespread cultural problem of racism. If this guy's, like, a big source of sexism and racism and bad stuff in the world, and let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of this anomaly. But yeah, no, he's just a result of everything, and so the solution is way more complicated than we want it to be.
Which is, like, a terrifying reality and a very good point. Like, it's just more comforting for everyone to think of this as an isolated case. But really, it's like, we can't cancel Jake Paul. Because to cancel Jake Paul would be to, like, address the society. Because if it's not him, it'll be somebody else. Like, just because, like, it's just everywhere. This is just the way that we are right now.
But,
including kids, right?
But, yeah. But, like I said, like, Shane did a really good job. Because all the kids who are watching Jake Paul get grilled by Shane are gonna think about how them and their friends joke around with that stuff.
I think... That takes me to, like, my original kind of, like, thought about how it took a peer to sit him down and, like, talk about this stuff in his own format to create a piece of content that would actually educate in the right place at the right time in the right medium. The medium is the message. Like,
kids wouldn't even consider the audience, not
the New York Times, not the Verge, to the his fans.
Yeah, it kids like wouldn't even tune into. Late. Kids wouldn't tune into, like, an 8-part series on HBO on Jake Paul.
Yeah, exactly. But he met them where they were. He was grilling him and challenging him in front of his, like, you know, 8-year-old constituents or whatever. And they got the message. He was kind of like the, you know, martyr in this case. I don't want to paint it that way, but you know what I mean. He was the symbol that was, like, had to face judgment. And therefore, everybody that watched was able to kind of, like, put himself in their shoes, reflect on their own life. And, like, but it was to the audience that mattered, the audience that everybody's afraid of, or afraid for. So, yeah, that was, like, maybe the most successful part about the whole entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, I can agree that he probably, like, that whole conversation about race could have been a whole nother, like, 8-part series.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it did an okay job.
Yeah.
I guess at the beginning of the series, I was kind of like, this is a joke. This is going to suck. This is going to be bad. He's just, like, super YouTube, super biased.
Yeah.
And in the end, it was entertaining, and he did a good job. Yeah, he did a good job of, like, being like a character in a safe space for all these people who are afraid to talk.
Yeah,
he's the Dr. Phil of YouTube. That was my last note.
Damn, I was gonna say that.
You were gonna say that?
Yeah, I was gonna say that way earlier on. I was like, he's trying to be the Dr. Phil of
that was like my YouTube. Original like vibe from like episode one. He's like, it's true. That's another thing. He's like the first of its kind, like a therapist for influencers, but that is an influencer, and they brought in the actual YouTube therapist to like be the sidekick, like. And these are the people that probably need the most therapy in the way of, like their microcosm or whatever. So it's weird. Like, so I guess I'm saying there's a such thing as a Dr. Phil, and there's a such thing as, like, an Oprah. but those are for like different audiences, and it's just funny that this is like specifically for the YouTube audience because they have one of those people. It's so funny.
Yeah, I mean,
like you can make a career out of that. I think is like what I
think he's going to. I think we're going to be seeing Shane Dawson our whole rest of our lives redeeming people who like redeeming monsters.
Really quick, that up before this one, he also did a similar series that was like still kind of baking, but he did it with Jeffree Star. He did it with
Tana. I don't know her whole name, but yeah, like that's where I first heard about him. Yeah, I first heard about the TanaCon disaster where this like other YouTuber made a conference called TanaCon at the same time VidCon happened, and they were like super underprepared, and it was like a nightmare. No, just too many people showed up and they couldn't handle it, and it was like really bad. And he released like a 3-part series on that, and that's where everyone was like, whoa, Shane's really good at these investigative documentaries. And then he did a puff piece on Jeffree Star, which is like a couple videos with Jeffree Star. There's nothing controversial there. Is Jeffree Star really that controversial?
No, yeah, he had like a really hard childhood.
Oh, but I just mean like people don't hate him, do they?
No, people fucking hate him. Like really? So many people hate him, yeah. He like really
Because I don't know much about Jeffree Star.
I didn't either. He needed a PR reboot, I guess. But it had to do with like he had videos from when he was on MySpace where he was like kind of saying racist things or did say racist things and whatever and just other insensitive things. But then it shows that like the swing to the other side is like, no, I actually was like really traumatized, and like I was on the street, I was like homeless, and I was cutting my whole entire body, and that's why all these tattoos are all over my body, because they're hiding literally hundreds of like cut tattoos or you know, cuts from cutting or whatever. But that was like his truth, and it was same sort of vibe, like just kind of giving him a platform to kind of like say, talk about his life.
Isn't it weird that, you know what it is? It's crazy because they could say all this stuff on their channels, but because Shane has become the identity for here's where I'm going to speak my authentic truth.
Yep. Exactly.
It's like it allows them to like, I don't know, be considered in a different light. Whereas we're going back to the thing where like I can't trust anything Jake Paul says on his channel because even from his own mouth, it's mostly fake. When you go on Shane, it's no longer this YouTube world where like there's fake stuff and real stuff and it's all mixed together for the sake of entertainment. Shane world is now this is the raw, the most authentic truth.
On YouTube,
where it was YouTube's identity already was, where this is the antidote to traditional media. This is where real stuff happens. But
he poked the hole, yeah.
But even on that, now it's all fake, and you need to go through Shane.
There's a hole within the hole within the hole. Yeah, like because it was reality, then you can't trust reality. So let's make the internet, and now you can't trust the internet. So now we trust Shane Dawson. Like. It's like that's what I think when people say he kind of invented a new format, a new kind of carved out like a niche or whatever in a place that people needed. It inhabited that perfectly.
Yeah, honestly. I wouldn't say it's a new format, but
it's not a new format, but
because like I said, like he's exactly like Louis Theroux.
Yeah,
like not a new but format. A little more YouTube-y for sure. Not there's no doubt about that. It's from the YouTube world, but. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he definitely established a new level of authenticity.
Yeah. He also did Bunny. She's, like, the reviewer of things. Do you know Bunny?
Nah.
She's just, like, this hyper-wacky lady, girl, that's been around for a while. And she did a lot of makeup, things. And then also she would review as seen on TV products and, like, toys and stuff like that.
Mm.
And she got interviewed by him, and she just talks about, it was really a really interesting one because she lives in this mansion, and she is just like this person that has been really depressed in her because her numbers have been going down significantly, and but also it was because she didn't feel comfortable because she lived a regular life.
Yeah. Hello. I think Anna's gone. Are you, Zach, are you sitting right next to, like, a loud-as-hell air conditioner?
Whoa.
Whoa.
We couldn't hear any of that?
No, Zach, are you sitting next to a really loud air conditioner?
No, I'm not sitting next to it, but the air conditioner is
on. Loud as hell.
Wait, did
yeah, we missed out? We missed everything you said, but we should probably wrap it up soon.
Oh,
yeah, I'm out of here.
All right, check out the bunny thing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to talk about. Shane, sorry I doubted you at the beginning. You did a great job, I think.
I guess it's overwhelmingly positive, yeah.
The only thing, like, whenever I think about what the world needs to be fixed, you know, like, what does the world need right now in these trying mm-hmm. times? It's pretty much people to feel safe to yeah. say something that they're afraid might get them in trouble. And yeah. when people say those things, for them to think about why that person might feel that way. Because yeah. right now we live in a world where vulnerability is not on the rise. People are hashtag in their filter bubbles mm-hmm. and they're afraid to say things that they're not, especially in the world where you're finding out that, like, oh no, that, like, ancient legacy racist code exists in my habits, and yeah. I might be like, I might be a racist and I don't even know it. And we all are.
Yeah.
There's no one person to blame. It's within all of us. And you just have to be willing to say some stuff that
not even racist, you need to be bias in general.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. So I think Shane did a great job of, like, showing what we need in this world to move forward, which is, like, forgiving people in advance and allowing them to say things that, I don't know, they're afraid to say, I guess. I don't know how to say it more generally.
Yeah.
Communication only happens with exposure and vulnerability. So if you're all closed up, communication will never happen. And what we need right now is good communication.
And truth, yeah.
So great job, Shane. Yeah. I was sort of a Shane hater, like, this is just a YouTube dude, but he did a good job.
I know. Well, that's pretty good rep.
Anything else? Anybody else have any closing things to say?
Did Zach just leave?
No.
That's it. I didn't think it could be done.
There's still a lot more. We try to provide you guys with anything the Paul brothers do. We try to do some sort of podcast or something on it, so keep you guys in the loop of what we think about the Paul bros and what they're up to.
Would you say this is like a little bit of a Trash Cast, sponsored by Trash Cast episode?
100%. I wanted to do this as video, mm-hmm. But I just didn't have time. This is a good police car sound in this song.
I feel like those are the cries of a million souls right now.
Guys, go ahead and rate us in the Apple Store.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Tell us what you thought about the Shane Dawson Instead of Mine, Jake Paul series on Twitter or whatever.
Check out my podcast, Zach Show Live. Got a new Morning Griddle up on there. Check that out.
And if Shane does The Mind of Logan Paul or Greg Paul, we'll be back again to talk about that.
Later, Daddy-O.
Oh, God.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.